All right, good evening. Welcome to our evening service at Faith Bible Church. Glad that you could join us tonight, whether you're a part of Faith Bible Church or joining us from some other place. Want to welcome you to our service tonight. I count it a privilege that God has utilized this technology so that we can do this. As time has been extended from our president and from our officials, I just can't imagine how we could go on without at least trying to connect this way and without the Word of God, without some of these important things to encourage us. Praise the Lord that we have this technology. And so grateful for that. Thankful for Zach Sievers, who has been such a grateful help in helping me. I'm recording these, then he's getting them all put on the website and ready for you. He's sending out those emails, giving you the instructions. Praise the Lord for those that are helping me with this process. But God be praised, and we're so grateful that we have the use of this technology. Looking forward to our service tonight. This morning was wonderful from 1 Peter, and now we get the opportunity to look in step with Jesus and see what he is doing and what he's going to instruct us this evening. And so glad for that. Hopefully this afternoon you were able to get some rest. You say, Pastor, we don't need any more rest. We're getting enough rest these days. Well, everybody's different. Maybe some of you are working. I want to, along these lines, I want to encourage you to be praying for each other. There's some people that have lost their jobs or not working right now, and of course the finances are going to be tight. I want to encourage you to pray for them. Now is a good opportunity also to maybe be reaching out to your brothers and sisters with resources. Maybe you know somebody that doesn't have a job right now. Maybe it would be time to be thinking and praying about being a help to somebody, being encouragement to them in any way. So lots to pray for concerning jobs, concerning health, concerning just social. What do you do? And so we need to become creative. We need to be thinking of ways, try to get phone calls to brothers and sisters, but at least be praying for each other. So encouraging to hear that many of you are praying for my family, and I want you to know that I am praying for you guys as well. So with that, let's go ahead and grab our hymnals. 230. 230 is the first hymn that we are going to look at this evening. 230, Glory to His Name. Glory to His Name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His Name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His Name. Verse 3. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His Name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His Name. Glory to His Name. Glory to His Name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His Name. Praise the Lord for that good song. Let's bow for a word of prayer as we continue on. Lord, glory to your name. We want to thank you for your goodness and your wonderful work. Lord, help us not to be overwhelmed and overcome with all the negative things in life that are overwhelming us. But Lord, help us to remember your goodness and bring glory to your name. God, help us. Help us this evening as we look at your word and as we try to be an encouragement to each other. That it would certainly be a blessing and that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to another song, 252. 252. Here we're going to look at another song. I know as I go through some of these, I say we're going to sing, and we're not singing them. Maybe you are at home. That would encourage that. I thought about singing them myself to you, but I don't think I'm going to do that. I think that I'll let you sing. I'm just going to read the words. 252, nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Back to 231. We were just at 230. The next page, 231, is the song, Blessed Redeemer. Blessed Redeemer. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray, e'en while his life blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend! How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered and heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him for evermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems how I see him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Lastly, 237. 237, At the Cross. Of course, some of these songs are preparing us for the Lord's table tonight. We're not going to be partaking of the bread and the cup, but it does prepare us to remember, certainly. 237, At the Cross. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Good songs. Let the words be a blessing to you, as I trust you take a little bit of time to dwell upon those. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 is where we're at this evening. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus just concluded that section on what we do when a brother offends us, and we looked at that last Sunday evening, and I hope that you took that and listened to that, heard that, and applied it in your life, and hopefully you're going to practice it as you see other brothers or sisters offend or do wrong. Right from there, Jesus then goes into a time of teaching us about forgiveness. And so as we're looking at Matthew chapter 18, we're going to be looking at verses 21 to 35. 21 till the end of the chapter, verse 35. We're not going to get in depth to all of these verses, but let me go ahead and let's look at this. Peter asks the Lord, how often should he forgive a sinning brother? So closely related to what we looked at last week, but God, what if he continues to sin? Is there a time when I stop? How many times should I do this? And so here's Jesus' answer. So look at Matthew chapter 18, start in verse 21 as I read, follow along. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. He would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And the Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Here we have just a little passage of instruction, and then a lengthy passage of illustration. And so I hope that we can make sense of this this evening. So Jesus gives the answer. Peter asks, how often shall I forgive him? And I think in Peter's mind, he's saying, should I even do it 7 times? I think Peter's like, no way. Do I really go to the extent of him sinning, and then I forgive him, and then he sins, and I forgive, and then he sins, and I forgive, and then he sins, and I forgive, and all the way up to 7, Jesus? And what was Jesus' response? Until 70, that's 70, times 7. 70 times 7 is, mathematicians, 490. Up to 490, and I don't think that at 491 times you stop. I think Jesus' point is you don't stop. If your brother comes to you, he sinned, you forgive him as many times as he comes. Brothers and sisters, there's the instruction. Period. There's the instruction. As your brothers and sisters offend you and they come to you and ask for forgiveness, you forgive them. And by the way, we learned this in the book of Philemon. Even if they don't come to you for forgiveness, you know what? If they don't come to you for forgiveness, true forgiveness on a relationship level cannot be restored. That's why confession has to be made for forgiveness. However, there ought to be, on your part, a spirit of forgiveness. And that is limitless as well. Whether they come to you or not, when a brother offends you or sins against you, you forgive him as many times as it takes. Forever. That's Jesus' response to us, and it ought be our response. So that's really the passage. And you say, Pastor, are you done? Are we going to close and dismiss? Well, no, not yet. I do want to look at this parable because I think it will help us just for a moment understand the directive of forgiving as many times as possible. Understand this. Okay, so we have this master. We have a couple different tiers. We have a master. Under him, we have a servant. This servant, though, doubles as another master because he, under him, has another servant or somebody that owes him. So there's 3 levels, 1, 2, and 3. Follow with that. All right, so we have this master right up here. He has a servant, and that servant owes him. Now, this servant owes his master quite a bit. In fact, when we look at it, it says that he owed him 10,000 talents. I think in our economy, this would be several million dollars Folks, we're not talking about a little debt. We're talking about astronomical payments. That's why the Lord, the Master, was so upset. He said, listen, you owe me and you need to pay it back. Can you imagine owing a couple $1 million to somebody? Wow, that would be overwhelming. And you can imagine what this individual was going through as he couldn't pay. He begged for forgiveness. His master said no. He was going to sell his possessions, his wife, his children, and so that payment could be made. And I'm sure that even that wasn't going to take care of it. So we have that level. So we have the master, 10,000 talents owed by this next servant. Then we have this servant who now becomes, in the second part of the illustration, he becomes the master and he has a servant under him. Now it doesn't say that he's necessarily master, but he has somebody that owes him. So we'll look at the master and servant relationship here. Now this servant underneath, the third tier, he owes his master, in the middle, he owes him 100 pence. 100 pence. That's 1 pence was a day's wage. 100 pence would be 100 days' wage. Now, if you think about 100 days' wages, that's still a good bit amount of money, but in comparison to that 10,000 talents, it is much less. So much less is this third servant asking for relief from his master. Understand that. Of what's going on here. So we have the master demanding and not willing to relieve, the servant here coming before his master crying and said, would you forgive me? The master, having compassion, goes ahead and forgives the debt and he sets him free. He is done. I can't imagine that. What a blessing. We'll talk about that in just a moment. So now he is the middle guy. He is free and clear, and you can imagine the emotion that he leaves the palace that day as he has been ridden of his freedom. Or, excuse me, he's been ridden from his debt. And so now he goes out, and then comes his debtor. Comes up to him and says, Master, I know I owe you 100 days' wages. Would you please forgive me? And it says he takes him by the throat. Now, wouldn't you think that this guy that just been relieved of his debt would have compassion on somebody else? I know what you're going through. But he didn't. He wasn't thinking of this individual. He's thinking of himself. He says, no. And he grabs him by the throat and shakes him. And he says, listen, you pay me. And he throws him into prison until he can pay him his debt. The passage indicates that his fellow peers look at him and he says, what? What has just happened? He was forgiven, yet he wouldn't. And so they go back, tattletales, and they tell the master that was on top, they tell him, you forgave that servant, and yet he is not willing to forgive this other servant down here. And I'll tell you that that Lord was not pleased. In fact, we see in verse 32, he called him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest. Shouldn't not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant and have pity, even as I had pity on thee? And so he was wroth. He delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Kind of a sad story. Yet, folks, there's a lot for us to learn. So likewise, look at the last verse. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. We've got to be resolved to forgive no matter what. I was about to make the application here, which would be at the end, but before I do that, let's look at a couple points here for just a few minutes this evening. First of all, understand we're all debtors. Every one of us is a debtor. You know, in the story, it kind of went circular. We have master, debtor, master, debtor, and if could really go on circular, master, debtor, master, debtor. Everybody has something that they owe to somebody else. It could go on and on that people owe. I want you to think about it. You have people that you have wronged. And no doubt that individual that you have wronged, that you owe, those who you have wronged, they also have people in their lives who they have wronged. And those people have people that they have wronged. And honestly, it just goes on. It really doesn't matter who you are. We've all wronged people. We all have owed people. And we all have people that have wronged us and all people that have owed us. Every one of us is a debtor. And we tend to only think, just like this first servant, about all the people that have wronged us. We tend to think about them, and they have done this, and they owe me. And we ignore all the people that we have wronged in our lives. Folks, we need to understand we're all debtors. You know, it's not fun to be a debtor. You know, you think about this first guy. You know, his wife, his children, all his possessions. And he went before his Lord, and he prayed. He cried to the Lord. He said, would you please, can you imagine being in that? Probably all of us have been in a situation where we owed so much. Maybe it was something that we did that was wrong, and we just wanted to beg somebody. All I just want was for you to forgive me. Maybe there was a big debt. Maybe there was a huge owing financially. Maybe, who knows what it is. You remember what it's like. Oh, tremendous burden. But remember, folks, everybody is a debtor. Everybody's a debtor. Everybody's a debtor. So we're all debtors, number one. Number two, although everybody's a debtor, we've all been forgiven. Now, I say we've all been forgiven. That's those who have asked for forgiveness. So right now, I'm speaking to the Faith Bible Church crowd and anybody else that's joined. I don't know who's out there listening, but can I say this? The Bible teaches that we're all sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. We have gone against God and His Word. We have transgressed the law. We've stepped out of bounds, whether it's this much or this much. You know, in sports, if you step out this much or step out this much, it doesn't matter. You're still out of bounds. When we sin, whether it's one little sin that some people refer to as a one white sin, whether it's that or we have sinned a million billion times, it doesn't matter. We're all transgressors of the law. The Bible teaches we're all sinners in Romans chapter 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Later in Romans chapter 6, we read, for the wages of that sin is death. We all deserve death. There it is. We've sinned. We've done wrong. We're a debtor. The wages of sin is death. Every one of us is a debtor, folks. Yet every one of us has had the opportunity for forgiveness. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It doesn't matter who you are. Jesus Christ went to the cross so that you could have eternal life. I wonder, have you asked for that forgiveness? Jesus went to the cross. He made the payment for you. All you have to do is accept it and receive it. If you are here in attendance this evening, watching or listening to this, and you've trusted in Jesus Christ, then yes, you're a debtor, but you have been forgiven. If you're here this evening and you have never received that forgiveness, you've never asked. Oh, friend, would you come to Jesus tonight and ask for forgiveness? He's already paid the penalty, and He will not cast you out. I trust that you have done that, or will do it. But for those of you who have trusted in Jesus, you have been forgiven. We've all been forgiven. All debtors, yet all forgiven. The word forgive means to graciously grant pardon, to be relieved of the debt, just like that man, that master was, or that, excuse me, not the master, but the servant was in this story. He was forgiven. It's to be restored to the original condition. And I would say biblically, it's plus so much more. It's amazing, folks. It's amazing. This much, you know, when this man, this first servant was relieved, it must have meant the world to him. He was relieved. He was forgiven of his debt. He must have been so excited. I think we could imagine that. Have you ever been pardoned? from something that you were indebted to. I want to tell you something. You have, if you're a Christian here tonight, you have a far greater debt. 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And get this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Gospel of John, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 29 says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming into him, unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, and such were some of you, speaking to Christians who are remembering back to their life as a sinner and as a heathen. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In Ephesians 1, 7, in whom we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Folks, we're all debtors, but we have all been forgiven. Are you thankful for that? I am. I can't imagine what it would be like to know that I'm lost and on my way to hell, for the wages of sin is death. When I sit and think about eternal damnation in hell without any way of escape, it is overwhelming and it is discouraging, folks. But folks, I have been forgiven. I've been relieved of that. I've been relieved of that debt, something that I deserved because I was a sinner. Folks, you've been forgiven. Aren't you excited? Just like this first individual was. Oh, he had to be so excited. Folks, we should be so excited. We have been free. We have been delivered. We've been redeemed. We no longer have that penalty in which we owe. So we're just like that first servant. And so God lets us go and we're free and we're hip, hip, hurrah. We're excited. We have been free. And then there's the individual that does you wrong. And all of a sudden, it's like we forget that forgiveness and we want to grab him by the throat and say, you don't understand how you hurt me. Don't you dare think that you're going to get off this easy. No, I'm not going to let you free. You need to apologize to me. You need to pay me back. No way. I can't afford it. Brothers and sisters, I can't afford it? Oh, think about the price that God paid through his son, Jesus, his only begotten son. How dare we say that we can't afford it? How dare we say that we cannot forgive? We see thirdly and lastly, we should all forgive our brothers, always. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, for even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Just as the Master, the Lord, has forgiven you, so ought you to forgive your brothers and sisters. We have been forgiven. What's the application? People hurt us, people offend us, people do wrong. And Peter says, how often should we forgive? And his Lord says, you forgive every time, because I forgive you every time. You say, Pastor, is there a limit? I mean, this person must not be serious. That's not up to you. That's up to God. That's between God and that individual. Your job is to forgive every time. I wonder tonight, as we close, I wonder how many of you are sitting out there and you've been forgiven and you're thankful for it, but somebody has offended you, somebody's hurt you, and you're not gonna forgive. I've talked to people that says, I can't forgive that person. I'm not going to forgive that person. And they're bitter and they're hurt and they stay there. Oh, how dare we? I know that you're hurt. I know that it's a struggle. But Jesus was hurt. God was hurt and he forgave you. Here we have this story. How often should we forgive? Jesus says, follow me. Forgive men his trespasses every single day. Time. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. The lesson is simple. Forgive every time. And you can do that, brother. You say it's so hard. You can do it. He's forgiven you. Aren't you thankful? Forgive him. Forgive her because of what he's done for you. Tremendous opportunities for us now to transition right into the Lord's table. I want you to think just for a moment. Kind of an amazing thing what Jesus did for us. Jesus is perfect. Yes, he was a human, but without sin. He didn't know sin. And yet he went to the cross for us to pardon us so that we could be free. Oh, he knew this principle. I think about that substitution. He went to the cross for us. Tonight, just for a few moments, I want you to think about that. No, there's no broken bread that's going to be passed about. But take a moment to consider his willingness to sacrifice his own body. He didn't have to do anything. Yet in his love, he loved you. God loved you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you willingly on the cross. He paid your penalty. He substituted his spot for yours. He took upon him that title which read, sinner, thief, murderer, liar, proud, and as many things as we could put under that. He took that. He took your spot. He was broken for you. You know what? We ought to be thankful. Thankful for what Jesus has done for us. I pray that tonight, as we close, that you'll take a little bit of time to stop and bow your head and thank the Lord for his broken body for yours. It's our body that deserves it. Yet he did it. Remember what Jesus did for you. We take our Bibles really quick and go to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23 says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. We don't have that element to pass around to you this evening, but would you take a moment to remember Jesus' substitution for your flesh? What a blessing it would be. Not only did he offer that, but he offered his blood. He took your spot, and he offered his blood. You know, in the message I said, above and beyond, even more so than grace to relieve, he gave grace upon and above and beyond that so that you can have more and extra. He didn't just pardon you from sin, but he gave you eternal life. And that is only possible through the shedding of blood. And that's what the juice represents. We don't have juice tonight, but it represents for us to remember the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us and frees us from that, so that above our heads now could be written, holy, righteous, and just, Son of God. Truly amazing. I want to encourage you tonight to take the opportunity to remember the precious blood of Jesus, which frees you and clears you from all sin and makes you a righteous child of God. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer. What a blessing, folks. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. There we have it, folks. Maybe some of you would be alarmed. Well, we didn't pass the bread. We didn't pass the juice. You know that that's not necessarily required. It's good for us to remember, but you know, in a situation like this, we don't need that to remember. we can still have the Lord's table as you remember. And I trust that you do that. Now, it's not the same. I think it was instituted for the church. And that's why we didn't deliver grape juice and bread, broken bread to you at your door. Because it's not just an individual thing. It's an institution of the church. But I did want to give you an opportunity to remember, though. Didn't want to pass that up, and I trust that you have. Want to conclude with the song, Victory in Jesus. What a blessing. Victory in Jesus. And I trust that you can end with that and with the words to that. 587 is the song. You can take your hymnals and turn if you don't know it, but 587 is the song, Victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Encouraging words, maybe in tough days, but we have the victory, folks, and let's keep our eyes and minds fixed upon that. It's been a good day. I hope that you've learned a lot about God's word from 1 Peter and then in Matthew 18 and then even concluding in 1 Corinthians 11. I trust you have a good week. Let us know how we can pray for you. Be a blessing to you. Reach out to other brothers and sisters as well. God is good, isn't he? God is good. Father, thank you so much for a wonderful day. Trust that your name is glorified through it. Lord, we need you. We need your help. God, I pray that we'd love our brothers and sisters and that we would use the gifts that you've given to us to do that so that we could bring you that honor and glory. God, I pray that we would be people that would be very quick to forgive and be reminded that you have forgiven us. Lord, thank you for your son's redeeming work on the cross. Thank you so much. Lord, be with my brothers and sisters that are out there. Watch over them. Help them. Provide for them. Keep us safe. For it's until next time we meet again and come together again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, folks. Have a wonderful week and trust that God will bless. We love you.